As we have been exploring in my last couple of services, Isaiah is talking to the people of Judah following the destruction of the temple and their exile in Babylon. The temple was destroyed in either 587 or 586 BC. And for 70 years thereafter, the Jews fasted in the fifth and the seventh month as a sign of mourning. We can read in Zechariah 7, verses 5, "Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you have fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted?" Scholars think that part of the book of Zechariah was written at about 518 BC, so it stacks up with the 70 years of fasting on a regular basis. And so, yes, they'd been fasting religiously and regularly, but did they really mean it, or had it become a mere ritual? Was there deep-rooted mourning and self-sacrifice, or was it merely tradition to keep up appearances? Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Let me tell you about Mary. Mary can track her family back at least five or six generations. They're all upright citizens, very staunch churchgoers. And Mary and her husband go to church every Sunday. They pay their church dues, and if the stewards ask them directly, they'll even contribute to the charities. Mary doesn't think much about God or Jesus the rest of the week. That's for Sundays. Mary doesn't really treat others with kindness, especially those that she feels are a bit beneath her. There's that dreadful girl in the supermarket with all the piercings. The chap with all the tattoos in the butcher, he's a bit scary. And, of course, there's Mrs. P, who comes round to clean, and every time she comes, Mary tells her over again what it is she has to do. And then there's that scruffy tall man in the black overcoat and the beanie hat who walks his dog at odd times of the day. He always speaks, and she nods. That's enough. Mary's husband works in finance or commerce or some such. She's not really sure. But the money's coming in, and he's good company, so that's all good. Until one day it isn't. Mary's husband comes home early from work. He's carrying a box with a few personal effects, a picture of Mary, a plant, and the pen holder that he has his blue, black, and red pen in, and his diary. He's been suspended from work. He's under suspicion. They're being investigated for some irregularity. He's very quick to point out to Mary that he hasn't done anything wrong. Well, nothing criminal, anyway. But he's been suggested that he contact a lawyer, and that's going to be expensive. Mary lies awake all night worrying about the situation. What can she do? And by dawn, she's got an idea. So she goes to the church and she finds the minister. She tells the minister to pray for her husband's situation and ask God to intervene. And the minister says, "Well, Mary, that's not really how it works, but I'll pray with you and you can pray for the situation." Mary hesitates a moment and says, no, "I'll come back on Sunday as usual," and leaves the church. Well, by Sunday, things have gone from bad to worse. Her husband has been to see a lawyer. He suggests that they need to employ a specialist barrister to look into the financial affairs in question, and that's going to be even more expensive. Not only is her husband not such good company at the moment, but he's also telling her she has to rein in on the household expenses or let Mrs. P go. Okay. So by Sunday, Mary comes into the church and the minister can see that she's in a bad way. After the service, he finds her in the coffee lounge, takes her to one side and says, "Mary, are you ready to pray yet?" And sobbing, she agrees. They find a quiet corner in the sanctuary, and the minister starts the prayers because Mary really doesn't know where to start. But by the end of the session, she has opened up her heart to God, and she is praying directly to God. She even forgets the ministers even there. The next day, Mary is in the supermarket, and she's standing in front of the shelves in slight bewilderment. How is she going to cut the household bill? "Can I be of assistance?" says a quiet voice. It's that dreadful girl with the piercings. But Mary sees that she's got kind eyes and she's got a gentle voice. And in the end, she shows Mary where the cut down price for fresh produce is and how she can use own brand stuff rather than branded stuff to help stretch the pounds. And when the girl takes her to the checkout and opens up a till for her, she's saved quite a few pounds. And she smiles at the girl and says thank you, and means it. Butcher's next. There's the chap with the tattoos. "Same as usual, madam," he holds up the beef fillet. And she says, "Have you got anything a little cheaper?" Well, after a bit of discussion and to-ing and fro-ing, she not only comes away with much cheaper beef skirt, but a plethora of recipes to try it with. Turns out the chap with the tattoos is a bit of a chef in his spare time. And before she leaves, they have a good laugh because she's talking about using one of her husband's precious Belgian beers to make bœuf en flamande. As she walks home, she realizes that she's been out so long that she hasn't had time to tell Mrs. P how to do the cleaning today. Oh, well, she supposes one day won't hurt. And she meets that tall chap in a bit scruffy, you know, in the beanie and the black coat. And he says, "Good morning." And she says, "Oh, good morning to you too." And the man walks away with a smile. And she gets home. Mrs. P has been and gone. And she's done everything perfectly. And Mary thinks, "Oh, I must thank her. Oh, I have never done that before." The next day, she goes to the lawyer's office with her husband to be moral support for him. And the lawyer says, "Oh, the barrister will be here shortly. He's on his way." And in walks a tall gentleman, no longer in a beanie hat and a scruffy overcoat, in a smart suit and with highly polished shoes. And the barrister says, "Hello, Mary. How nice to see you." And he says to her husband, "There really isn't very much to worry about. We'll soon have it sorted." When you next look at Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 9a, I hope you'll think of Mary. She thought she was righteous, but she was merely keeping up appearances. She expected God to look after her situation, but as she didn't have a relationship with God, she didn't know where to start. And when she finally really did turn to God, she had opportunities to change her attitudes towards others. And when she did that, it all turned out all right. God wants us to be in relationship with us. He doesn't want us to come in Sunday after Sunday and just sit here and feel righteous about it. He wants a relationship with us. Jesus wants us to be his hands, his face, and his feet. He wants us to be salty. He wants us to go out and season the life around us. He wants us to shine his light into the world and not hide ours under a bowl. He came not to change the law, but to fulfill it. And he expects us to do the same. The Ten Commandments still stand. but we have to do it with the right heart. And when he says you have to be more righteous than the Pharisees, it's not because he already knew the Pharisees were hypocrites, but to the Jewish people, the Pharisees were the teachers of the law. They were respected people. And they say, oh, we have to be more righteous than the Pharisees. How can we do that? Well, we do that by being in relationship with God and by following Jesus' teachings. And thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen.